May we pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that Christmas continues, that your son's birth is not just a single day, but the waves of joy and liberation, freedom and redemption that come from his birth continue on each day of the year and every year from now until you come again. Dear Lord, help us join in that chorus of rejoicing. Help us to feel your spirit this morning and to be moved to give praise. Dear Lord, we pray that this sermon that I preach now will not be mine, but indeed will be yours and achieve the purposes that you have for it. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, we are in, as of the first Sunday of Advent, you all know, is the Christian New Year. So that was about a month ago. And we are into the Gospels of Mark and John throughout this whole entire year until next Advent, till the next first Sunday of Advent, and the year will change again. And so today is a special day in the cycle of all the Gospel readings for the entire year, because we get to hear a gospel from Luke. This will probably be the only time, except for last Sunday, with the Nativity, that we get to hear a gospel from Luke during this cycle B in the year's church year's readings. And I wonder if it's not because Luke is so good at bringing joy and showing what Christ can bring us in joy as well. We see it in his recount of Mary's life and the Annunciation, Gabriel's visit to Mary. We see the joy there. We see it before that in her cousin Elizabeth and her being able to conceive John the Baptist at an old age. And so in all these stories, there's marveling and treasuring in the heart and rejoicing. And here come Anna and Simeon in today's gospel to continue with the joy. In Luke 2:28, talks about Simeon, who's waiting, it says, for the consolation of Israel. And when he sees the Holy Family enter the temple, he runs up and takes baby Jesus in his arms. That's what's happening on the front of the bulletin today. And he gives praise to God for this moment because he's waited and waited and waited. And it says that God would not let him die until he had seen the Messiah. And so he's waiting for joy with this for so many years. And it comes to pass as the Holy Family comes on the eighth day to present Jesus in the temple. And then in 2:38, it talks about Anna, who's a prophet. She spends all her time in the temple, day and night, it says. And she comes, to the Holy Family and greets them and gives praise to God as well. You know, this praise is unusual in the context that it came from, because Israel wasn't doing very well at this time. They were under the thumb of Rome. They were not in charge of their own destiny. In many ways, the chief priest had to deal with Rome constantly just to carry out their faith and the practice of their faith without being entangled in other affairs and messes. It had been 300 years since a prophet had spoke. We've talked about that so much, like when John the Baptist came. No prophet had spoken in Israel for 300 years. And so they probably felt like, man, God has forgotten us. And, you know, John the Baptist is only 6 years old or 6 months old in this scripture today. So he hasn't even came yet. So they're still feeling that lack of time in which God had spoke to them. And then finally, their leadership that they did have didn't really inspire a whole lot of excitement or faith. So it's a down time for Israel. But that doesn't seem to affect Simeon and Anna, who just keep on in the temple. Just keep waiting. They're not disenchanted in any way. And here they come to give praise and witness. You know, it says that Anna married her husband, and it doesn't say when, how old she was when she married him. But if she's like Mary, probably a teenager. And that he died just 7 years after they were married. And so if you do the math on it, she's basically been coming to the temple night and day for 63 years. That's how long she's been waiting for the redemption of Israel that she sees come to fruition in the baby Jesus. 63 years she's been waiting. And then Simeon, we don't know his age either, but you got to guess he's probably about as old, since the promise that the Spirit had given him was that he would see the Messiah before he died. And now he says, now I can die in peace because I've seen the Messiah, the baby Jesus. And so I think Simeon and Anna come to us today out of the Scriptures, out of the depths of all these years, with this witness to be joyful and to rejoice and to give praise, despite maybe our situation or context or that of the world right now. You know, for some reason, I haven't quite figured it out, but for some reason, New Year's Day is always kind of depressing to me. New Year's Eve is okay, but New Year's Day, I just don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's just kind of depressing for me. And so I'm going to look at New Year's Day tomorrow. It's not as New Year's Day, but as the eighth day of Christmas. That Christmas continues. Today's the seventh day we talked about in the children's sermon, and tomorrow is the eighth day, and the joy and the celebration of Christmas goes on. You know, I've wrestled with, you know, why I might get depressed. And I don't know if it's because maybe I think there's some sort of pain coming ahead, some sort of suffering in the new year that I can't know is happening or coming upon me. And maybe I feel that. I think probably the best way to describe it is how I felt after I graduated from seminary. And I went to college after high school. And then after high school, I went straight to seminary. And, you know, it was hard. And there's a lot of hard things that I had to do in seminary, writing really long papers, meeting deadlines. But for the most part, compared to the rest of the world, it's a pretty comfortable life as a student. Yeah, there's times that are stressful, but it's pretty comfortable. And it's pretty safe for the most part. And so the way I felt on graduation was one of this joy that I had completed my program. I had finished really what I thought at the time was the bulk of all my college work. And I had earned my degree. And that's a, you know, that's a joyous moment. But then it was mixed with the fact that I'm not going back to the comfortable university next fall, right? I'm going out into the real world. I'm going out into the 8 and 5. And that was unsettling. And that kind of made the day not just about the joy, but also about this worry, I guess, or concern, or even dread, you know, if that's maybe too much of a word. And so entering again, Simeon and Anna, you know, they, as I said, had been waiting for the consolation of Israel for a long time, 63 years in their life, you know, even more years in Israel's life. And they've been waiting for the redemption. And here comes baby Jesus. And they don't worry about everything that has to happen to make this real. You know, the baby Jesus was going to have to grow up. He was going to have to go to the cross and die for our sins and all these other really hard things. But in this moment, and for this moment, Anna and Simeon just rejoice. They just stay in the moment, and they just celebrate it. Christmas continues, even if there are things that are coming that are going to be painful and hard. They don't let those things rob them of the joy of the moment, like those thoughts of the real world robbed me maybe of the joy of that moment when I graduated and completed my seminary degree. You guys know that I coached cross country for a long time at Westfield, and this was back in 2012, and we had a good team that year, but we, as you know, if you follow sports at all in Indiana, Hamilton County is like one of the strongest places to try to compete against in terms of other schools. It's really hard to do things like make it to state or, you know, get out of sectional or regional or things like that. You have all the Hamilton County schools, the big schools, Carmel, you know, Southeastern and Fishers and you know, Westfield now is one of those. They're really big now. And besides that, our regional for cross country that year, besides all those teams in our regional, was a lot of the Indianapolis schools that are also really good, like the North Centrals and the Lawrence North and Lawrence Central and on and Brebeuf, who hosted it. And so they only take, out of all those really good teams, they only take five at regional. And so every year, it was kind of the focal point for us as a team, because if we could get through regional, it was more likely that we would get through semi-state. Regional was actually harder than semi-state. And so there was just a lot of weight going into the meet about, wow, we've got to run our very best. We've got to make it. We've got to, you know, get through this meet so we can go on to achieve our goals of going to state or what have you. Well, the race finished at regional, and the guys all came up to me afterwards, and they knew the magnitude and the weight of this meet as well. Of course they did, because they were the ones shouldering the burden of it, the biggest burden of it. And they came to me with these faces of, how did we do? You know, this, did we make it? They had no idea what they had done or how it compared to other teams, and you could see that kind of dread on their face. And I told them, it doesn't even matter. Either way, we're partying tonight. And what I was talking about was they had just ran like the best race that we ever had in Westfield history. They didn't know it, but they had run their best times by like 20 and 30 seconds. And it wasn't just one guy. It was like six of the seven guys in the varsity. And what I was trying to communicate to them was, whatever happens in the next hour or so when they reveal the results, it doesn't matter, because we did the very best that we could do today. Let's celebrate that. And you should see the relief on their face. They started jumping up and down, you know, and pumping their fist. And it was just such a cool moment. And it reminded me of Simeon and Anna today. There's a lot ahead. There's a lot still to do. And the one that God had sent to do all this is just a little baby. And yet, here they are celebrating and rejoicing and not letting whatever else is going to happen after that bring them down. I think Luke, the Gospel of Luke, who does such a good job of communicating the joy that Christ brings, reminds us that, you know, despite the pain and suffering that might be ahead, whether it be in our lives or our life as a church or, you know, as Christians in the world or in, you know, in other places, that ultimately God will triumph, that ultimately God will have the final say and he will win. And we can't always be so focused on the dread part that we need to take the moments that we do have to celebrate and to rejoice. I think Anne and Simeon really show us that today in in this gospel. I think one of the things that the baby Jesus signifies so powerfully is that God has set things in motion. So when they see the baby Jesus, they know that, hey, this may not happen like this, but God is at work. Things are being set into motion, and salvation will happen when it's God's time for it to do so. I really love Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And in that song, one of the lines is, "Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, incarnate deity." And it's just such a beautiful line, but the opening of that line is, "Late in time." So I think, you know, for Simeon and Anna, and maybe for you too, maybe God feels late in time in the coming. Maybe God feels late in his coming to you or to the bringing of the joy. I want to go to our second reading today in our Celebrate insert and take a look at that real quick. This was one that I mentioned at Maggie's baptism last August. And that's because one of the things that Christ does for us when we become a part of God's family is that he calls us son and daughter and child and heir in a way that, you know, before we didn't have a story, now we do. And then we can in turn, as the scripture says here, call God Abba, Father, which is an Aramaic word, Hebrew word, that means something like Papa God. It's really a familiar name. And that's the relationship that we have with God because of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And what rejoicing is there to have that relationship with him. Anna and Simeon show us the way in this first Sunday of Christmas, the seventh day of Christmas, to know how to rejoice and to just focus on it and not to focus on all the stuff that could come afterwards, but just let joy abound and let it bloom fully today as we sing these carols still and as the sacrifice and the gift of the Christ child is given to us again. And so as we go forth today, and for the rest of the service, and for the rest of the week, and maybe this year, I'd love for joy and rejoicing to continue to be a theme. Let us rejoice that the child is born, that the son is given, as Isaiah prophesied. Let us rejoice that the wait is over, that Christ has come. We're still waiting for him to come again, but he has come. Things have been set in motion. And take comfort, consolation, and joy in that. And finally know that one day, because this baby was born, God will ultimately triumph. And he will bring home all of us to heaven. And eternal rejoicing, where there is no dread in the future, where there is no worry, where there's consolation and comfort and praise. Amen.